You know, like I was single, you know, at the time, and I was kind of living life, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to write down this list of all these things that I'd like my future wife to have. So, you know, I wanted somebody that had similar values in raising kids, somebody that was passionate about her relationship with Christ and was living a life of integrity. And she wanted to, you know, go and travel and to do all these things. And, you know, I had this, it was an amazing moment. I wrote down this list. I still have it. It's in my phone. It's in my Apple Notes, you know, it's never going away. So I have it, you know, time and date stamped in there. But the amazing thing happened is I wrote that list and God spoke very clearly to me. He's like, that's a, you know, there's nothing wrong with this list. This is a great list. But the woman that's on this list is not going to date the man that you are today, let alone marry him.
Welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast, where men rediscover courageous masculinity. Pull up a chair as we gain strength from the stories of God working in the lives of ordinary men today. These men have discovered that in a world of superficiality and isolation, we need authentic brotherhood to gain strength for the battles we face every day. Brought to you by the ministry of CLC, which challenges men to an uncommon pursuit of Christ, welcome to Empowered Manhood. Hey guys, welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast. My name is Mike Hatch and I am with CLC, and I'm here alongside my co-host, author and speaker, Chris Bollinger. And by the way, just a reminder, make sure you check out Chris Bollinger's most recent release or book called 52 Weeks of Strength for Men, a new daily devotional for men that he came up with. You can go to chrisbollinger.com or mensdevotionals.com to check that out. Of course, you can always access his devotional as well as the Amazon best-selling devotional, Daily Strength for Men, of course, on Amazon. So as men, we have a tendency to be very pragmatic and practical. I think that's one of the reasons why we often try to fix our wives' problems, because kind of like that YouTube video that's become very popular with a wife with a nail in her forehead, you know, talking about the pain that she's experiencing and the man doing his best to bite his tongue or his lip, wanting to tell her what the problem was and how to fix it. But we just have that tendency to be very pragmatic and practical. And often this can stifle us in our journey of discipleship, of growing in our faith and sanctification. The trials and challenges we face in life, we can be impatient with them because we just want to get to that end point. We want to get things settled and finished. And we don't realize often what God is doing, what he's cultivating in and through us as a result of the things we're going through or trying to get from point A to point D. And our guest today, Jason Alcott, is an author and speaker, and he wrote the book, The Sowing Principle, The Steps Between Your Purpose and the Harvest. What I love about this book is that it helps to kind of identify those underlying things that you don't often see every day as we're going through the mundane, or what feels like mundane paces in our lives, not realizing that that we're sowing. We are sowing either, as Scripture says, to the flesh or to the spirit, and we will reap a harvest either way. And so understanding this truth, the question becomes, how do we become intentional about how we plant and how we sow for the harvest? And Jason does an incredible job with us during this interview talking about that. He, of course, shares his story, which, as usual, as most of our guests do, that story is the catapult or the springboard into his mission to write this book. So guys, let's go ahead and jump into our interview now with Jason Alcott. Jason Alcott, welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. Great to be able to spend this time with you guys.
Yeah, man. I'm grateful too. And I'm excited. You and I got to talk a while back. It's been, I think, maybe a few months or a couple months, maybe. Maybe a month.
I was trying to remember. I think it's been a couple months, and I've got like a 4-month-old baby girl. So I was trying to remember, did I talk to Mike before I had the baby, or not me had the baby, before we had the baby? Or was that after? Everything's a blur, right? When you have little kids.
Oh, exactly. It's a blur.
I have no concept of time anymore. I can't figure out what day it is. Yeah. Oh yeah. I sleep all the time.
So true. Well, I just loved our conversation. I felt like you and I are run parallel, you know, in terms of our faith, maybe in some theological kind of ways of thinking. And then just the idea of this book that you wrote, I'm really excited to talk about. and The Sowing Principle. And I just think there's so much in it that applies to where we are today and where guys are today, especially. So really looking forward to getting into that a little bit more. But before we do that, of course, let's start out with your fence post story. And again, for first time listeners, just imagine a fence along a property. And each vertical post represents a significant moment or person in your life that shaped you into who you are today. And so, yeah, Jason, we'd love to hear a little bit about your story and the way God shaped you. And yeah, share about your fence posts.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I mean, I love this concept. You know, you shared that with me, and I've been listening to some of your guys' podcasts coming into today. And you guys are doing an amazing thing here. So just wanted to say thank you for, you know, taking the time and effort to put something like this together, because I have found it to be so encouraging as I've gotten to know you guys over the last couple of months listening to stuff. And this idea of fence posts to me just, it just lines up with life, because, you know, when you look at a fence and you come across a post, there could be a slight change in direction. Often it's not like a massive 180, right? But it can be just a, you know, a slight trajectory change. And to me, that's so much of what each day can look like, where I can make a slight trajectory change in my life. But then what does that look like as you follow that fence down the line? Like, some of those slight trajectory changes can end up being massive changes over time. And so this concept of fence post stories, to me, it just really resonates with life, because it allows you to put things into a perspective. So I don't know who came up with that, but it's great. Was it? Yeah, it's really good stuff.
Wasn't either of us.
Nope, it was not us. Like, yeah, all right. We stole it from the founder of CLC. And
yes, of course. Yeah. Okay.
We continue great. To plagiarize. So,
well, I hope if it's okay, I'm going to use it too, but
do it. Do it.
Right. So,
but I love that thought, by the way, real quick on the change in direction. Yeah. Holy cow. Man, way to take it deeper. I love that. So I appreciate your thought on that. And that's something I'm going to remember.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's what, and we'll dive in more to the book later, but isn't it interesting that, I mean, so much of life, we're looking to make changes, right? We're looking to make changes in our life. And I think we're often looking for like big changes, right? Like, we want to make, I've got this particular area of my life and I need to make a big change in my life to turn this around. But so often it's actually just a small change that needs to happen on a consistent basis. I mean, that's the sowing principle right there, right? Like that's what it is, right? It's a small change made on a consistent basis. But to bring it back, so right now today, I live just outside of Vancouver, BC. I was born and raised here, and I'm 41 years old today. Not today, it's not my birthday, but I'm 41 years old at the time of this recording. And I'm blessed. I've been married for the last 6.5 years, and I've got 3 baby girls. So life is fun and full and busy. And I work full time. So it's, you know, there's a lot going on. But with that, I live an incredibly blessed life. But, you know, life today doesn't look like what it looked like even 10 or 12 years ago. I think that's when I think about my life and, you know, fence post moments. One of the biggest ones that I've had in my life was I don't know if you guys agree with this, but I was at a point in life where it was like, I had that idea of like, I'm going to write down a list of everything that I'd like my future wife to have, like as like values, right? You know, like I was single, you know, at the time, and I was kind of living life, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to write down this list of all these things that I'd like my future wife to have. So, you know, I wanted somebody that had similar values in raising kids, somebody that was passionate about her relationship with Christ and was living a life of integrity. And she wanted to, you know, go and travel and to do all these things. And, you know, I had this, it was an amazing moment. I wrote down this list. I still have it. It's in my phone. It's in my Apple Notes, you know, it's never going away. So I have it, you know, time and date stamped in there. But the amazing thing happened is I wrote that list and God spoke very clearly to me. He's like, there's nothing wrong with this list. This is a great list. But the woman that's on this list is not going to date the man that you are today, let alone marry him. Like, no way.
Boom.
Like,
boom.
Like it was, oh, yeah, my exactly. Right. Like waking up cold sweats going, oh my gosh, like what's going on? But it was, you know, I wasn't living a life of integrity. I wasn't, you know, pursuing God's call or purpose in my life. I wasn't living life according to the values that I said that I had. And that really was, you know, a bigger fence post for me that put me on a trajectory of growing in relationship with Christ. And, you know, it's funny because I look back on it now and what I did was I actually took some very mechanical steps to become who I think that maybe the type of person was. So I looked at this going, okay, so if I wanted to become more of a godly man, that was the idea in my mind that would attract a woman like this. Well, what does a godly man do? Well, in my mind, a godly man would read his Bible every day. So I started to take the very mechanical step of reading my Bible every day. It wasn't perfect. It's not like I read it every single day, and I didn't do like the Bible in a year. I just, you know, would read like a chapter a day. I started in Proverbs because that's where my dad encouraged me. He's like, dig into Proverbs. There's one for every day of the month. You know, like if you miss one, just pick up the day that you are. Like it's pretty straightforward and there's great wisdom in there. Right. And you learn a lot. What came out of that very mechanical first couple of steps was all of a sudden I found myself growing in relationship with Jesus Christ that I didn't even know I was looking for. Mm. And it was, and that has just changed the trajectory of everything, because it was one thing to take the mechanical steps reading the Bible, but now I'm having a conversation. He's speaking into my life. You know, so much changed from, you know, to the man that I am today, to who I was, you know, 12 years ago. And I don't want to make it sound like I was living this horrible life of, you know, I live a life of sin because I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's an everyday thing, but it wasn't like I was horrible, but there was definitely parts of my life that were off track. I was very much a Sunday Christian. You know, it wasn't uncommon for me to be there in body, but not in spirit, you know, all of these things. And so all of a sudden I started to develop more of that relationship and be able to have those conversations in prayer and reading the Bible. And that has grown into, you know, this idea of being wanting to write the book and what's this going to be about. And I kind of look back on that and there's something here, there's something powerful here of, you know, how do we take these little tiny things that we do daily and how can they actually impact our life or what God wants to do in and through us in such a big, big way. Hmm.
So I noticed that, you know, obviously in your book, you talk about grit. But I I've heard grit talked about before there's a book called Grit that people, you know,
great
a lot of people,
book, yeah.
But I feel like what you're insinuating with grit is a little bit different maybe, in some ways in this framework, because it sounds like what you were just describing was what you meant by grit too. Like you talked about a mechanical kind of like approach to just, okay, I have to be disciplined and diligent and just sit down, open my Bible and read, make time for it, be intentional. And then God began to move and work through that. But you definitely didn't feel like doing it at first. And it maybe felt a little awkward at first. I mean, would that be right?
Yeah, I think when you're starting anything new, in my experience, like when I'm going to go start anything new, so it can be even doing podcast recordings with you guys, like the first couple of podcasts, like it feels really awkward. had done a handful now, and those YouTube videos that you guys were, you know, we'll talk more about those YouTube videos, but I still feel very awkward doing those. But I feel less awkward today than I did when I did the first one almost a year ago, right? Like the first one, I was like, man, I don't know about this. I don't know if this is a good idea. You know, but you take these steps where it does feel awkward, and then you start to find out, you know, it becomes more of a part of you. It becomes more of hopefully your identity. Now, what I like to do is try and focus on it. I mean, I was doing this when I started reading my Bible, but I didn't even realize it. Is what I looked at when I said, hey, here's the type of man that I think I'd like to become, or the man that I'd like to become. What I was looking at was, what's the identity of that man? How does he live his life? And then I walked that back to, okay, so what does that man do when he wakes up in the morning? Right. And I recognize that I'm not that man yet, but what does Jason do today when he wakes up in the morning to become that man? And that to me has actually become something that I've talked about a lot more recently, is, you know, identifying not goals, but identify who is the type of person that God's calling you to become. And what does that type of person do in their daily life? You know, you look at someone, you put them on a pedestal because they live their life in such a way. Right. You know, they're a published author, or they're, you know, they're a leader in their church. Well, what everybody started somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. So what do you think? They didn't get this, you know, leap all of a sudden. So what are the things that you kind of walk yourself back to? And it does take a little bit of grit. You got to kind of dig in a little bit to get started. It's not going to just be wake up and easy in my experience anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Mike and Jason, I've been to my share of counseling sessions over the course of my adult life. And one of the things I learned in counseling is that, you know, a lot of times we think that our attitude determines our behavior, but actually a lot of times it works in the reverse. So if you want to have a better attitude, you start doing things and you may not enjoy them, but eventually your attitude kind of comes around so, behavior can determine or influence your attitude just as it can work the other way around. And I think that spiritual disciplines are similar. You know, I don't I struggle with reading my Bible every day. There's a lot of things that I struggle with, but I think that just doing it, just, you know, even if you don't really feel like it, you know, I'm tired, totally. Or I got up early and I got so much to do today. But if you do it, then not only does it become easier over time, but I think it influences the man that you are, just because you've gone through, you know, it's called discipline for a reason. It requires discipline. Totally. But I think it can work both ways, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, attitude is one way to look at it too. I think a lot of people wait, well, I'll do it when I feel motivated.
Right.
Oh, well, yeah. My experience, it's the exact same conversation. I find I'm much more motivated if I'm actually moving, right? If I actually made steps of process. And you know what? I don't have the verse in front of me, and I apologize, but there's an incredible verse. I think I've got it in the book, and maybe you guys could help me by looking it up and sharing it, but, or maybe you know it, but God doesn't give us a spirit of, you know, he gives us a spirit of power, self-discipline, in that verse. So when I came across that verse, and it was in one of my devotions one morning, I was like, so hold on a second here. Like, I'm waiting for myself to have the self-discipline. Right. But God said that it's actually his spirit in me that gives me that self-discipline. And all of a sudden I felt this weight fall off my shoulders. I'm sure you guys have experienced that at different points in life, where all of a sudden I just felt that weight fall off my shoulders. Well, hold on a second. I'm trying to put all the pressure on me, but God's spirit in me actually wants me to grow in relationship with Christ, wants me to, you know, continue to work towards and uncover what God's purpose is in my life. And I just found that to be incredibly encouraging and something, because, you know, if I leave it up to my own strengths, which you guys know, like you say, like, I'm going to fail. Yeah. And I still do. Right. And I think we all do. We all have that in common. But when I can lean on, you know, Christ and what he wants to do in and through me, that's amazing. Right.
I love that. Just get moving. Thought, because, you know, in sports, you know, there are days where you don't feel like doing the work, but if you just get moving, if you just get, you know, get your body moving, then, you know, you'll start to do what you need to do. Yeah, so I think absolutely. That's a great, great idea in a lot of areas, is just get moving, just go do it. Yep. You don't have to have your attitude right. Just get started. And like you said, this God's spirit will work within you, and you'll get that,
can happen.
You get that transformation, even if your attitude's bad and you're not terribly motivated.
Totally. Yep.
The former president, Teddy Roosevelt, used to say, you got to get action. That's what he said.
Oh, yeah.
Got to get action.
I love that. That's good. Yeah.
Get action. Anyway. Yeah. So, yeah. Second Timothy 1:7 is what you're talking about. Thank you. And I'll start from verse 6. I just read it real quick. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So yeah, you're right. It's the spirit who moves and works in us in that way. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I've always just found that verse. Well, not always, sorry. Since that sort of time when I realized that, and that was opened, my eyes were open to that. I've just found it. And there's different, depending on what version of the Bible you're reading, it's self-control or self-discipline and power. And it's like, but that's inside me already. So I'm not trying to create that. So how can I then go and live that out? Another point that I'll mention here, because I think it's really kind of lines up with our conversation when you talk about I don't necessarily do this every day. One thing that I've learned, there's a great book. I'm not sure if you guys have read it yet. It's called Atomic Habits by James Clear. Highly recommend it. He's not a Christian based author, but there's a concept in there called habit stacking. Have you guys ever heard of this before?
No.
Habit stacking has been incredibly, again, one of those things. I was doing it, but I didn't really know that I did it until I kind of read about it. And I'm going, oh yeah, I do this. And it's where you take something that you already do naturally in your day-to-day, you already have a natural habit around it, and then you stack it with something else that you'd like to incorporate into your life. So for myself, if I'm having breakfast, that's when I'm doing devotions and reading my Bible. It gets super interesting for me on the days when I skip breakfast because I stack those two things together. So like if I sit down at the table, I've got my Bible and I've got my phone and I got my Bible version app and I'm going through a devotion and I'm reading my Bible. That's the morning for me. And those two things are very much intertwined. So, and I found that to be really helpful with anything that I'm doing. So when I wake up in the morning and I hit the shower, that's when I start rolling through in my mind of all the different things that I'm grateful for in my life. And that's become a habit. I get in the shower and I do this mental exercise of what am I grateful for? And if you tie those two things together, now all of a sudden I'm going to have a shower every day anyway. right? And I'm going to eat breakfast. So can I, you know, what else do you do in life that you can take and stack other habits that you'd like to incorporate into your life? So it becomes a little less onerous. It becomes a little less of trying to push yourself into that motion. You're already doing X. So now you just combine it with Y.
That's great.
That's excellent.
I love it. So I want to back up for a second, because we dove right into this, which is great.
We did. Yeah.
So let's go back and I want to your story, because what you said was, you said that you had this list of things that you were wanting your wife to be. And I love this. Because look, even if you haven't done it like explicitly, like I appreciate your vulnerability, humility to say you actually like wrote it down. Most of us have it in our minds to some extent, you know, and but then for God to convict you and say, you're not that guy that this person would date. I don't know that many of us, some of us need to be woke up to that reality.
I think so. When I meet with young people, I love sharing that story, especially people that are single and dating and wanting to attract someone. And it's, we have these ideas of we're waiting for this perfect person, which doesn't exist, except for my wife, of course, who I met, who's everything on my list and more, you know, and you know, I'm in work in progress and she's awesome. But yeah, we have these ideas that we think that we should be with these people, or that marriage is going to, I mean, you guys are married, you know, marriage mm-hmm. is an adventure big yep. time. Right. Mm-hmm. But we have these ideas of what life is going to look like. And I think sometimes we're a little bit off kilter between where we are today and what we think our life should look like, you know, when we're married, and that person's going to solve all these things for us. So there's a lot more there, but you know, that's not the case. Right. So.
Well, I love that God used that, humble or humiliating moment in your life to get you to think a little bit more. So then that it sounds like that kind of, well, I'll let you answer the question. What was the impetus for the book?
So the book, I'd always wanted to write a book, which I talked about in kind of the trailer video. I wanted to write a book for a really long time, but it wasn't clear to me what I was going to write about. And then there's a concept that's been really influential in my life, which is the sewing principle, but it was written about by a couple of different authors who are not Christians. One of them is a book called The Slight Edge by a gentleman by the name of Jeff Olson. It's a great book. And another one's called The Compound Effect by a gentleman by the name of Darren Hardy. And they're very much talking about the little tiny things that we do daily and how those compound over our life. And I love that concept. That's really kind of what the sewing principle is. But I recognized they were very much talking about, you know, your finances and success in your career. And I was going, hold on a second. The biggest area where I have seen the impact of this concept has been in my relationship with Christ and my relationship and growing my wife and, you know, who I was becoming as a man, as a part of my identity. My career has definitely been impacted by this concept for sure. But I've seen more of the outworkings of this in what it is that I kind of do in my daily life holistically, not just in one area, right? It impacts everything. And then also I recognize the sewing principle itself. It's a big part. It keeps coming up. People keep bringing it up in the book. Is we're sowing seeds here today. We might be sowing seeds here today that we'll never see a harvest for. Mm. Right. And that's a difficult concept, I think, for a lot of people to wrap their head around, even me some days, you know, where I'm like, well, I'm investing time and effort and energy into writing a book or to creating these videos to uplift and encourage people. And, you know, is that going to actually impact my life in any significant way? And in the end, if it's what God's calling me to do, if it's the work that he's calling me to sow those seeds, then whether I see any fruit from it or not is irrelevant, because he wants me to be doing that, right? He wants to outwork those things so that they can impact other people's lives that I may never meet. Right. And so that was a big part of the sewing principle that I wanted to capture. And that sort of all came together and took me a couple of years to kind of write the book in 15-minute gaps. you know, Chris, yeah, what writing is like, and Mike, like, yeah, it's not it's not this picture perfect thing.
No.
But then, yeah, slowly, slowly over time, the book came together. So.
OK, so if you can, I have not had a chance to look at the book yet. If you can. You said it's a principle. So can you do the elevator pitch, as we used to say in the business world? I don't know if they still say that anymore, because people aren't in elevators, do they? Okay.
Yeah.
What's the elevator pitch? What is the principle or the principles related to sewing that you share in the book?
For sure. So I talk through in the sewing principle, I give the principle of sowing and reaping, the framework that I provide in the book is to be able to identify everything that God has blessed you with. And then how do you take those things and actually sow those seeds in your daily life that is going to lead you towards what God wants you to do through your life. So It really just helps you to capture and recognize, you know, the importance of right into the moment of like, starting with your thoughts, right? Thoughts, your words, your actions, ultimately your time being the biggest resource that you're given, the biggest blessing and gift that you're given. And then of course, gifts, skills, talents, and abilities. How do you take those seeds and sow them in a direction that God's calling you towards? So what he wants you to be sowing towards. So we talk about, you know, where do you sow those seeds? You know, how do you spend your time? And we talk about, you know, different things like habits, like how can you incorporate sowing into it to be more habitual into your life, especially if it's a positive habit. We talk about habits being bad habits, but there's very positive habits in your life too, right? That you want to develop and be able to allow to grow. And then for that, I very intentionally in the book talked a lot about the ideas of identifying what you sow and where you sow, how you sow and why you sow. But I talked very, very little about the harvest, because to me that's sort of short-term, you know, instant gratification thing. And I'm trying to help people move away from an idea of what's in it for me and think more of how does this fit? How does my life fit in God's bigger story? Like, how do I fit in the bigger story of what God wants to do in my community, in my family, with the people that I get the opportunity to connect with?
I love that. I love that, because often we start with with ourselves, and we start with, you know, where God fits into our life, and you're flipping that on its head, right? And you're saying, no, it's God's world. It's his story. It's his, he's the key actor or main character. We're just supporting roles. And so where do you fit into God's plan with this reaping and sowing, which I'm sure then, because one of the questions I was going to ask was if you could elaborate a little bit more on why you sow. And I'm sure what we just said there in terms of that plays into the why you sow.
Yeah, I think everybody's got to do their own digging of their why. You're going to need something. You're going to need God's sort of that power inside you and the spirit inside you to carry you through on the times when you don't want to continue anymore, right? There was there was definitely a point when I was writing the book where it was like, I felt like I'd done what I could do, but it wasn't done, right? Like I needed to be able to carry that through and finish it. And I mean, the book's one example, but how many times in life do we get to the point where it's like, I've invested all this, you know, time, effort, energy, gifts, skills, talents, abilities. You've invested this, but you don't feel like you're making any progress. And you're going to need to be able to understand where you fit in the bigger picture, where what you're doing is what God's calling you to do. We don't always get a clear picture of that, but I believe God does give us enough of a glimpse of what he'd like to do in and through our life so that we have something to hold on to that we can kind of work towards when it does get tough, because life happens to everyone. I talk about that a lot. Life happens to everybody. Nobody's exempt. Nobody's getting out of this thing alive, right? We're all going to get to go through what we get to go through in life. And now it's what do you get to do with that? That you know, what do you get to learn from that? What do you get to, you know, carry that? How can you impact other people through what you've learned?
So it sounds like what you're saying is the why behind your sowing is somewhat personal and kind of it between you and God in terms of what you decide are your main priorities or values.
Yeah, I believe it's personal. I believe that's why I think I talk a lot about my relationship with Christ and how that's grown and how much I've been, how it's impacted me in such a way. It's difficult to kind of put it into words, how that's impacted my life. I believe that you need to, it's only in that relationship with Christ that I am allowed, that like Christ is speaking into my life and kind of affirming whether or not I'm sort of on or off track, right? Because I'm off track probably more than I'm on track. So if you're not living that life, then that would be like my first step of encouragement is like, get into that point where you're allowing God to speak into your life. Because if you're trying to answer this question of like, okay, so what am I supposed to be doing? You know, what's my purpose for my life? You know, that's a very large question with young men, right? You know, what's my purpose? Why am I here? What am I going to do? I want to make an impact. You hear that a lot. I want to make an impact. Great. Okay. And you're waiting for what that looks like. Okay. Well, if you're not allowing God to speak that into your life, then, and you're allowing other people to speak that into your life, when you do come up against tough times, then all of a sudden, maybe what you think you're supposed to be doing isn't actually from what God wants you to be doing. Maybe it's somebody else that spoke into your life with good intention, right? You know, you get inspired by somebody else. So I'd like to do what they do. Great. Well, is that what God wants you to be doing? I don't know. I didn't ask him. We should probably have that conversation, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Jason, when you were giving your elevator pitch, I mean, I just was writing down so many things. I mean, it just got my mind just buzzing with all the things that you were covering. And I'm trying to frame it as questions for you. One thing that I heard clearly is you need to be intentional about this. And I'm typically not. I mean, I'm very self-centered. I think about myself a lot. And so I think it would be good at the outset to just be intentional every day that, you know, I'm going to try to sow into other people. So what are some ways that somebody can be intentional about this? Some daily practices where you can start to get into the mindset and into the actions of deliberately sowing into other people every day.
That's a great question. I think one thing when you're framing that and you're saying that, you know, I don't feel like I'm an intentional person. I think there's probably a lot of people that resonates with, or like, well, I don't have the self-discipline to do this or to take these steps. I want to just kind of take that pressure off of like, you're looking for the littlest, tiniest, simplest step that, you know, that you can say to yourself, hey, you know what, I can do this because it's really simple and I can do it consistently. Because I think there's something that incredibly powerful that happens when we can do something with consistency, when we can do something that allows us to grow. So when you think about, you know, you want to grow in your relationship with Christ, we talked a lot about reading your Bible. There was times in my life where I've looked at it and gone, this is an onerous task. This is too big. I can't pick up this rock, right? Mm. How can you break that down into, well, what could you do? Like, could you read a verse a day? Could you open the Bible app? I mean, that thing's amazing. And, you know, you got your phone with you every day. Could you just commit to getting that open and reading the verse of the day every day? Like, could you start there? And then could you look at, well, we get to drive to and from work for most people who've got a bit of a commute. Well, could you take part of that time and be intentional with your time of listening to a great podcast or a sermon or stuff like that? Like, it doesn't always have to be music or talk radio or something that's, you know, maybe detracting from who you are. But what are the little tiny things that you could identify that would compound over time, that would sow over time, those are really going to make a difference. They're going to change your trajectory of your life. And when you talk about sowing into other people, connecting with other people, encouraging other people, I think that when you're doing things like spending time in the Word, when you're doing things like fueling your mind with really positive things like podcasts and sermons and what you read and other books, you're going to start to show up as a bit of a different person. You're going to start to show up a little bit more others focused. You're going to start to show up in your interactions at work, wanting to show up with more of a positive attitude and encouraging the people around you. Because everybody at work always is the same thing. Well, how was your weekend? What was too short and can't wait for Friday? And well, you could be different, right? Like, God wants you to be there for a reason. You're kind of in the marketplace for a reason. That to me, I mean, it's just been a realization over time, but that's where God's wanted to work in and through me. Not that I'm like standing here on my soapbox at work every morning, but he does want me to be a light in the workplace or in my family or wherever it is. So I think it's these little tiny things of not having it be onerous, but that what's the tiniest thing that you can take and say to yourself, yeah, I can do that. And I can do that consistently. And that's going to change, set you on a trajectory for so much of what God wants to do in and through you. Does that kind of answer your question, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's excellent. And I think it is it's somewhat of a mindset change to recognize that there are things I can do in the moment, every day in the moment, you know, just little things like you said. And I want to applaud my wife for giving me a great example of this recently. So a lot of times, you know, especially in Christian circles, I'll ask somebody, hey, how can I pray for you? Mm-hmm. Right. And then they tell me, and then what do? I walk away and I forget half the time. You know, sometimes I remember to write it down, but you know, sometimes it's like a couple of days later, it's like, oh crap, you know, I was supposed to pray for something and I completely forgot.
Sure.
So the other day, she asked the question. We were together with my dad, and then she just prayed for him right then. you know, just said a prayer right then. And it's so easy. It's so simple. It's in the moment. It's a little thing. And I invariably forget to do it. But I'm trying to use her example now to, you know, just pray. You know, it doesn't have to be with that person. You know, sometimes that's a little awkward, but I can say the prayer right then. They don't have to remember to write it down, which I will probably forget to do. So yeah, I love the stacking idea. And that just, again, brings all kinds of things to mind, you know, things I can be doing when I'm doing something else that are just little things that are little habits, like you said, that I can start to do that will become more regular as I begin to do them. And if they're outward focused, you know, there's great things I can do for myself, but if I start to do things to intentionally plant in others, then I can do them when I'm with those people. I can do them, you know, when I'm doing other things.
Absolutely. That's a great example from your wife. It's what's the little thing that you can do that's an effortless action to make that prayer in that moment, right? Like this is not a big onerous thing. Mm. So often we're looking for, like we talked a little bit about before we started, but we look for big changes in our life. And so often, you know, we want the conference that's going to set me on a new trajectory, and conferences are amazing and I love them. And you can learn so much and gain so much perspective, but it's what happens out of the conference that matters. Right. It's what are you doing? What are you doing 2 weeks from now? Right. What are you doing 3 months from now? Are you still reading your Bible 6 months from now? Because what's going to matter is not whether you read your Bible, you know, if you read the Bible from start to finish in the month of January, good for you. But you never picked your Bible up for the rest of the year. Well, that's a travesty. That's devastating. I want to help you. I'm concerned. I'd much rather you told me, well, I only read a verse a day, but I read for 365 days. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, as that really struck me when you said the little things compound over time, the little things we do. And then Chris, you brought up the idea of being intentional about it. And so many of us are not. And as men, I know for me, I almost feel a sense of shame or embarrassment to share this, but like I have these big aspirations. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying, like, oh man, I've got a vision for what, you know, the success or what I'm going to accomplish. But very little have that perspective about what are the little teeny bitty steps or the seeds that are planted along the way, which then this is funny. Galatians 6 came to my mind, and this is so cool. Galatians 6, chapter 3. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Okay. That's what I do all the time because again, totally. I have these huge aspirations, right?
Right.
But then it's in each one should test their own actions, which is kind of what we're talking about here. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. The next paragraph goes on. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. That just upped the ante in terms of those little intentional things that we plant in my mind is anyway, both of you and your points you were just discussing.
That's the verse I start the book out with, you know, do not be deceived. A man will reap what he sows. It's always been a really powerful verse for me. Yep. Like don't fool yourself. What we do today matters.
Yeah, man. Do we need that reminder? Oh my gosh. I know I do. That's for sure. You know, you talked about the wake up calls and for you personally. And I'm thinking about grace, which was kind of part of your introduction though, too. Talk a little bit about what role grace plays in all of this, because I think again, as I think of myself and these huge expectations, they say that humor is, it comes down to this very fundamental thing. And that is that man's great aspirations and how far short we fall. And that's what's funny. So all humor and kind of jokes kind of, they highlight that gap. And so so we need grace in this. That's what I'm trying to say. So talk a little bit about how grace and the role that it plays in this whole process.
I think, grace is integral to my life. I'm sure it is for you guys, because I just continue to fail in so many different areas, right? Like, I'm like, man, like as a father, sometimes I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I have got to, you know, dig in and learn. But that's the one that seems to come to mind because I got young kids. But grace to me, let me talk to it about it this way. I love those plans that are, you know, let's read the Bible in a year. So we kind of just touched on that briefly. But if you start the plan in January, which a lot of people do, to read their Bible in January, and you know, you're excited and you know, for the first week, you're fairly consistent. And for the second week, you miss a day, but you keep going. And then in the third week, all of a sudden you've missed 2 days and or maybe 3 days, but eventually you might get to the point whereby you're actually so far behind that you just quit altogether because you're beating yourself up because you feel this sort of sense of shame. And I think that's so common for men, that we feel this sense of shame for what we haven't done, and we allow that to stop us from moving forward at all. So when I talk about, you know, reading the Bible, coming back to that example in the Bible in a year, I love the Bible in a year apps. I just don't necessarily think that it's for everybody. I think that some people need to just commit to reading any part of it in a year. And there's another concept that kind of along the lines of habit stacking. One that I use is, you know, if I've got a habit that I'm trying to develop, is I give myself grace. I never beat myself up for what I haven't done, or I try not to, or I should say, right? Like my goal is, like, I can't do anything about what I didn't do yesterday, but I do get the opportunity to do something about what I can do today or tomorrow. So I try to never miss 2 days in a row. So, okay. So you miss your goal, your habit, you know, of maybe sowing into people or encouraging someone around you or asking if you can pray for someone. So you didn't get the opportunity to do that today. Well, you get to wake up tomorrow, but in my mind, I've got this thing there. I don't miss 2 days in a row. If it's important to me, if it's a part of who I believe God's calling me to become, if it's a part of the identity that I want to have in Christ, then I don't miss 2 days in a row. And not to make me feel shame, but just give myself that grace. Like, yes, there are going to be times when I'm going to fall off the track because I haven't slept, because all of these things are going on. Life is happening, but can I give myself the grace to pick back up again? Because that's what matters, right? Mm. What matters isn't that I missed. What matters is whether or not I get up and do it again. That's what is going to define who I am over the next trajectory of my life.
Mm. And Jason, I love to beat myself up. I mean, I'm totally. I've perfected.
Like, me too.
I've perfected beating myself up. But I wonder, so I haven't been doing this. I think I've been better than I used to be in terms of trying to sow into people around me. I used to just, you know, if I didn't like my job or I didn't like my neighborhood or I didn't like what was happening, I would just become a chronic complainer. Mm-hmm. And at some point, somebody told me, you know, maybe you're in that work situation or you're in that neighborhood or you're in that church because there are people there who need you to help them out in some way. And it changed my perspective on things a bit. I mean, I haven't done everything I should with it, but I wonder if for myself and maybe for guys like me, I wonder if it'd be helpful to, at the end of the day, write down the times during the day where I did sow into people or where I did something positive, because I tend to focus on the negative. I blew this opportunity. I wasted time here. I didn't do this. Whereas if I wrote down some of the positives, maybe that would help me the next day to do even more positive. I guess it's kind of encouraging myself. Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. I love that a lot. We say two things around our house. We say, first thing is we say we celebrate risks. We celebrate taking risks. Yeah. And we celebrate small wins.
Okay.
And I'm big on that because I'm very much like you. My natural tendency is actually a little bit more pessimistic. Mm-hmm. I'm an introvert. I'm a little bit more pessimistic. I definitely beat myself up. I have to take actionable steps to put myself into more of a positive mindset.
Okay.
And to focus exactly on what you're saying is to focus on the wins. It's so easy to focus on where we fail. It's so mm-hmm. easy to beat ourselves up for everything that we haven't done, but that isn't going to affirm you to actually take the steps that you want to do on a daily basis. So I'm big for celebrating the small wins. Celebrate small wins of consistency. Mm-hmm. And if you're somebody that's, you know, if that makes sense to you, if that resonates with you, to write down those wins, you know, it's similar to the idea of like, you know, writing down what you're grateful for. I love those concepts of a gratitude journal, call it what you will, you know, celebrate the things that you've won, because it builds up. When you celebrate what you've won, you're affirming your identity as a winner in that space in your life. And that's what you want to do, right? You want to affirm that I am the type of man that reads my Bible every day. I am the type of man that, you know, is praying for the people around me and encouraging the people around me. Well, it's one thing to say that, but you affirm that in your identity as you do that over a consistent period of time. And you want to celebrate that because that's, you know, kind of build that into who you are as a person, as compared to you constantly being, you know, saying, well, the type of man that I am is the guy that forgets all the time to pray for people. That's who I am. But you're telling yourself that, but you get to sow your thoughts. Like I talk about that in the book. You can't hold two thoughts in your mind at the same time. I don't know if you're aware of that, but that's a thing. You can't think about two things at the exact same time. So God's given us this ability, this gift that we actually get to control our thoughts, and our thoughts turns into our, you know, our words and emotions and our actions and the outworking of our life. So when you find yourself going down that road of focusing on everything that you're not doing, you've got to try and figure out for yourself. I think it's different, a little bit different for everybody, but how are you going to change the track? How are you going to change, the soundtrack? I think John Acuff's got a new book called Soundtracks, where it's like, how do you change that? How do you change what you're telling yourself so that you're focusing on those wins? That's huge.
So you're speaking into this, I think this idea of, that you write about in the book, in terms of loving the journey. When you talk about cultivating and so there's a difference between planting and cultivating. Definitely. Can you talk about that a little bit? And then what exactly do you mean by loving the journey?
I tried to write loving the journey into the book because I failed at this so much. I'm a lot like what you say, Mike, like I've got these big dreams and these big goals and I'm like, and because I'm not hitting them, I find myself very dissatisfied, at different points in my life because I'm not where I thought I should be. Right. And I'm not enjoying the journey. And, parenting is a great example because there's no like end destination in parenting. You're living it and you're going through it every single day. And you get to either, let that struggle, which some, I admit I do more days than others, or you get to enjoy the journey. But so when you think about sowing a seed, for example, like my wife's a gardener, I'm not, but she is, and she's great at it. And she absolutely loves it. It's definitely like a passion of hers. And I watch her, sow these seeds into the ground, and then everything that goes around sort of helping to make sure that those seeds actually come to fruition to actually bear fruit. And it's one thing to put it into the ground, but there's everything else that she goes through over the next 3 to 4 months to have this plant come and help feed our family. And it's an amazing thing, but it's almost easier to sow the seed. And then there's everything that goes on around it, the consistency of making sure that it's watered and properly fed and keeping the pests away and all these things that we get to do. We're doing this in our daily life, right? We're planting these seeds into the lives of others. And now we get to stay with consistency and still being that light and still being, present and still, becoming more of who God wants us to be. And I think if we're so just focused on the destination, we miss out on everything that is supposed to be happening on a daily basis. And I do this, I had to write that because it's been so much of my life. I've been a very goal oriented person. That's the house that I grew up in. And there's nothing wrong with that unless you're comparing yourself where you are today to where you'd like to be in the future. And because you're not there now, all of a sudden you've got sort of an unhealthy dissatisfaction. There's a healthy dissatisfaction that actually pushes you in that direction. But if it's an unhealthy dissatisfaction where it's like, well, I'm just not going to be happy until I'm there. Well, then who suffers around you because you've decided that, who's suffering? Probably your family, probably the people that you work with, because all of a sudden you're dissatisfied with where you think you should be in life.
And it's funny you mentioned the gardening analogy, because I planted a COVID garden in 2020.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
And good. I enjoyed it very much. It was, I learned a ton, and I would do things differently the second time around here. But one of the things that was really surprising was the rodents that found their way into my garden.
Oh my gosh.
It was so frustrating. I'd pull carrots and like half of it had been gnawed off, and eaten. The mice would climb the tomato plants and eat the tomatoes right off the vine.
Yep.
I was blown away by how much of the cultivation process is just trying to protect the fruit from getting destroyed.
Yeah. Gardening in this area, Mike, I mean, Northeast Ohio, Western Pennsylvania is all about fencing. You got to put fences everywhere and you've got to be very, and cameras too. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, they're very innovative and clever in how they eat everything that you've planted.
I got a call last summer from my wife, and it was a very panicked phone call. And of course, your immediate, you know, initially is like, are the kids okay? And it was that, no, she had discovered that voles were in her garden. They were tunneling under her garden, and she was just, oh, it was like, she was devastated. I mean, it was like the world had come to an end. And then there was another call. It's like, I think there's more than one. And I'm like, okay. You know, I got to finish out my work day. I don't really know how to help you. I know nothing about voles. And yeah, but I mean, isn't that a great, when you think about, like, if you set yourself on a trajectory, especially if you're going to, you guys would know this, but when you go after what God wants you to be going after, guess what's about to happen?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Right?
Like, it's about to happen. Life is, especially if you're really digging in and God's, because God wants to do, I believe very firmly in my heart, God wants to do incredible things in and through you if you're willing to go do that. But if you're going to step out on that journey, you better be prepared and ready and be willing to cultivate, is one way to say it, but just be willing to, like, you know, set up those safeguards around you, you know, good people around you, you know, a good group of men that can kind of support you, which is why I love so much the ministry that you guys are doing. I've been blessed to be part of an accountability group for the last, I think it's almost 20 years. We've been together. We talk every Thursday morning with a group of guys on a quick call, just touching base with where everybody's at in life. And sometimes it gets deeper than others, but we've gone through a lot together. And I know that those guys are there and they've got my back. And when I do face those challenges, you know, so that's why I love the ministry that, you know, CLC is doing, because you get that opportunity to build those relationships with men. We need that because we're going to go through life and we can't go through it alone, right? We need people to support us.
Amen.
Jason, there's one more thing you said earlier, and I just want to commend you for it. You said that in your home, you celebrate the small wins, but you also celebrate people taking risks. And that's wonderful. Because doing this is going to challenge, it's going to challenge me, it's going to challenge most guys, and you're going to have to get outside your comfort zone. You're going to have to start taking some risks. You have to talk to people. You're going to have to, you know, focus on other people and have goals for yourself in areas that you haven't done well in the past. And it's going to involve risk. And as an entrepreneur and as somebody who values risk, I mean, you know, it's not just, you know, wanton, stupid risk, but you're talking about, you know, doing things for God that are going to involve some risk. And I think that's great that you celebrate that.
I appreciate that. We heard that in a sermon once, a handful of years ago, wrote it down, put it up on the wall. It's never left. I think that there's what you're saying there is, you know, celebrating risk and taking risks, not a reckless risk.
Right.
Right. But very much, if God is calling you in a direction, he wants to do something in and through you and impacting the lives of others, which I believe that he does, you're right. You're going to have to put yourself out there and take risks. There is possibility of harm, right? That's the definition. There's a chance I'm going to do this and I might get hurt in some capacity, whatever that looks like. But that, you know, life is a series of taking risks. Right. You know, the first time you meet your wife, my wife and I went on a blind date. That's how we met. Talk about a risk. More on her side than mine. Right. Yeah. She took the risk. I just showed up. But what comes out of those? What comes out of those risks? Yeah. Like, look at the incredible things that have come out of, you know, taking those risks, putting yourself out there, being willing to be vulnerable, being willing to try things that you've never tried before. Especially if you feel that and believe that that's the direction God's calling you in.
And being willing to fail. I mean, you're going to fall down. You're going to do that anyway. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Let's just get that on the table. You're going to fail. Okay, great. We all know this. Like, don't lie to yourself. Right. We're already doing it.
So, all right. I kind of want to maybe this wrap up with this question. We're coming close to our time here. So the title of your book, The Sowing Principle, and then the subtitle is The Steps Between Your Purpose and the Harvest. What is the difference between our purpose and the harvest?
When you are sowing into your relationship with Christ, I believe he gives you a vision of what he wants to do in and through you. He wants to speak to you, and that, I believe, is sort of your purpose. So it's like when you're standing at one fence post and you get a vision of the direction towards you that you believe you're supposed to be headed, ideally the next fence post. You know, the harvest is so interesting because the harvest I believe when God's really speaking and you're seeing your work in his bigger vision, you may not get to see the harvest, and it's being okay with that, which we've kind of touched on. You know, there's a church that my wife was a children's ministry pastor of when we met. And it's a great church here in our local area. Pretty good sized church. I don't know how many people they have attending on a Sunday, but I would say somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 people. Like it's a decent sized local church. That church was started many years ago. I believe it's over 60 or 70 years ago now, by two women that started a Sunday school. They were very intentional in following through on what God told them to do in starting a Sunday school, but they had no concept, I guarantee, like they had no concept that that Sunday school was going to grow into the church that it is and the impact that that church has on the world today. It's a church that gives millions of dollars a year to global missions. It's very involved in their community. Like you don't get to know what the seeds that you're sowing today are going to potentially do. But if you're able to take that purpose that God puts in your heart and take the steps, then at least you're moving that towards whatever the potential harvest that God wants to do in and through you. It's not up to me, right? We say this, my parents grew up saying this, you know, we do the sowing and God does the growing. It's very cliche, but this is life, right? Like we get to sow the seeds and then it's not up for me to determine, well, okay, so I've done X, now I should, you know, Y should produce. Well, garden is a great example. You don't get to say, okay, so that I put that carrot seed in the ground and 12 days later, there better be a carrot there. Well, that's not the case, right?
Yeah.
Especially if a vole is involved, right? Who knows, right? There's a general timeline, but like, that's not up to me, right? So take that pressure off yourself. Just keep sowing what it is that you believe God's called you to sow, and he'll take care of the harvest. He'll take care of you. He always does.
Yeah.
That's absolutely great. So it's almost like really the purpose is God's purpose, ultimately.
Right. 100%.
And us kind of entrusting our will or conforming our will to his purpose. Yeah. That's awesome, man. Jason, thank you so much for being with us today. Man, so good. Guys, make sure you go out. The book again is The Sowing Principle, The Steps Between Your Purpose and the Harvest. I cannot recommend this book more highly. I just think, especially for men, not that women, obviously I'm sure you've got women readers who, but guys.
Of course, yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. There's something in this that just I think would uniquely prick the heart of a man. Jason, any, you know, folks want to reach out to you, if they want to contact you, I'm sure you're open to speaking, or maybe some other possible opportunities with regard to this book. I just think there's a lot of potential there. How do people contact you? How do they follow you? I know you've got a YouTube channel, so.
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way to get in touch with me is through my website. It's jasonalcott.com. So that's JASONALCOTT.com. I think you can Google Jason Alcott, and I'm pretty sure I'm still the only one that comes up.
Yeah, you come up first. I think there were a couple other ones, but you come up first.
I think there was a baseball player once, and it's not me. Yeah, exactly. But I come up, and so you can find me there. Also, right now I'm doing a weekly video on YouTube to kind of uplift and encourage people, where I talk about concepts that are sort of in this mix between personal growth and spiritual growth. And how do you take these ideas like habit stacking and, you know, don't miss twice, you know, you don't miss two, you know, twice in a row, you know, how do you bring some of these things together to kind of build in your relationship with Christ? So those are two great ways to kind of find me. You can connect with me through the website. There's a contact form there. Easy. I'm the only one that gets that email, and I'm happy to have conversation. And I'm definitely excited about opportunities to share the book. And it's exciting to see the impact that it's really starting to have.
Great. And then, of course, the other thing is, too, if you do get his book and you enjoy it, go back onto Amazon and write Jason a review there.
Absolutely. That'd be appreciated.
Yeah. For authors, man, that, and Chris, I know you can speak to this as an author. It's so important to get, you know, those reviews, a number of those reviews up and people reviewing them, saying good things. All right. So, Jason, let's go. I'd love to pray for you, man, and your ministry and your family and the future of what God has in store for you, as you are conforming your will to God's purpose, and maybe you're going to get to see some of the harvest, but we know that you won't see all of it. So let me pray for you, Jason. God, Father God, you are good, Lord. You are so good and faithful, Lord. And we're grateful that, for this book that you've brought it about through Jason. Lord, thank you for his ministry, and for the ways that he is impacting people. Even though the book and the sowing principle, that's kind of a a side gig in a sense, Lord. I know he's got a day job, but Father, I know you're using him in every sphere of his life. And I pray, Father, that you would empower him by your Spirit, continue to lead him and demonstrate the spirit of power that you've placed in him, not of timidity, and God, to be bold in his approach. And Lord, be confident knowing that you're going to use him for your kingdom purposes. And Lord, I pray for his family, his wife, continue to hold them fast and together, Lord, richly bless their marriage. And may Jason and his wife's ministry in this respect flow out of that joy that you produce in their marriage and their family. Father, we entrust him, the book, and everything you're going to do in the future, Lord, to produce the harvest into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, gentlemen. Yeah, thank you, guys. I really appreciate the opportunity. It's been really great to connect and get to know you guys better.